The title of this sermon is Identity Crisis. And the identity crisis that I'm talking about is an identity crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, Almighty God, King of Kings, Lord, that is our prayer today, that you would consume us, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, from your throne, that you would be high and lifted up, that you would be glorified in this house. God, as we have given you praise and we have given you worship and you've already spoken to us through song, Lord, now we ask that your living word would pierce our hearts and speak exactly what you have for each one of us today. Lord, we know that your word will do exactly what you send it forth to do. It will not return void, and it is an unstoppable force. So God, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And we ask in the all-powerful, mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would be glorified in this house and in this message. And we ask in Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, we sang happy birthday today, but we forgot Bailey. Bailey, it's not Laura's fault, it's Tucker's fault. Bailey has a birthday on Monday, right? I'm celebrating it on Monday. It will actually fall on Wednesday. So let's sing happy birthday to Bailey real quick. You know, there was a great time in this church whenever I was the only August birthday. And my name would be on that board all alone. Laura loved it. She would get so excited. She'd be like, Aaron, it's your month. And she was really happy. I think she invited other people with August birthdays. I'm going to need to see your ID to see if your birthday is in August, actually, Pat. Speaking of IDs and birthdays, it was a year ago that my family got to take a wonderful trip to Italy. And the Lord spoke an amazing word to me by hiding all of our luggage from us for the entire trip. But prior to that, I don't know if I got to share this or not, but we had flown all night long. And we were exhausted and we were groggy and we were confused, and we woke up and we were in Germany. And we go to customs in Germany, and it is, I mean, they're opening up the airport. Like, no one's in there. It is desolate. It is no one but us. And they're opening up the gates to the customs windows, and we're their first people. And how many of you have a passport or a driver's license or some form of identification? So when you go to a foreign country, they want to see your identification. They want you to identify yourself. So as we come, and it was August 31st, it was my birthday. And as we come up, and it's Lisa and Landon and Dante and myself, we all stand. Most of us stood in front of the customs people like this, because, you know, we don't want to go to jail in Germany. So Landon is standing like this, and Dante is standing like this, and I am standing like this. And Lisa is just looking around. She'd never been to the airport in Germany before, and she's just having a great time. Do you guys see that? Look, everyone. So I don't know, any of you that have a passport, they're good for how many years? 10 years. Lisa's was 9 years old. Lisa does not look the same. She looks so much better now. Lisa does not look the same. Dante, Landon, and myself, we all pretty much look the same. So as the woman is studying Lisa's ID, Lisa won't make eye contact with her. Lisa is evading the customs agent. This did not go over great. So she starts snapping her fingers. Lisa. What? Oh, is it our turn? Yeah, it's our turn. And Lisa says, hello. And the woman looks. What color was your hair in that? It was blonde. She does not look the same. And the woman's looking at it, and she goes, she didn't recognize it. She calls over someone else from the next thing. She goes, she calls someone else. There's three of them. And they're just like, all like, it's not her. That's not her. She could not be proven by her identification. They couldn't. And I'm just like, and Lisa, do you want to see my driver's license? They don't care about her American driver's license in Germany. They said no. And they look. And the woman sighs. And she looks at me. And she goes, happy birthday. And she goes, just go. And she shakes her head, and we got through. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to talk about your identification. I want to talk about your identity. I want to talk about our identity. There's a world right now where people are identifying as things that they are not. There are men saying, well, I identify as a woman. And there's a woman that might say, I identify as a man. Or there might be a child that says, I identify as an animal. There is a huge problem with identity in our world right now. And it is evil, and it is demonic, and it is not of God. It is absolutely wrong. And that's not what I'm going to preach about today. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, as you guys turn there, we're going to start in verse 11. I'll just give you a little replay of the first 10 verses. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's a big shocker in the Old Testament. But the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the people of Israel were hiding out in dens, in mountains, and caves because they were taking all of their food. The Midianites and the Amalekites would come up and they would take anything that the children of Israel had. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So in verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord, and he sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. And Joash's son Gideon was threshing wheat by the winepress so that he could hide it. He didn't want them to know he had it because they would take it. So he was hiding it. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and he said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said, yes, right? His enthusiasm and excitement and belief in what was said to him. No, he didn't. Gideon said what maybe some of us have said. He said, well, if the Lord is with us, then why is this all happening to me? Why is this all going on? It's terrible. He said, why is this befallen us? Where are all the miracles that our fathers told us of, saying, didn't the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. He's delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and he said, go in your might, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now this second pep talk got Gideon going, right? He's like, you're right, I can do this. Right? No. He answered like, I'm sorry, I can relate to Gideon. But he said unto him, how? Wherewith will I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my Father's house. You can't be talking to me. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Now, we're not going to go on and read the rest of it, but guess what happened? Exactly what God said. That's right. Someone should preach a message about that, Brother Rick. The title of this sermon is Identity Crisis. And the identity crisis that I'm talking about is an identity crisis in the church of Jesus Christ. Do we think, like Gideon, that we can't do it, that we're too weak? Or do we believe what God says about us? Our identity is whatever God says it is, because He is right. Gideon looked on his abilities and he said, I can't do it. God never asked Gideon to do anything on his own. God said, I will be with you, mighty man of valor. He said, I will go with you. We see the identity crisis all around us in this fallen, evil, lost world. If we don't know who we are, how are we going to witness to them? Amen. How? We have to know who we are, and we are exactly who God says we are. An identity crisis, the definition, it's a period of uncertainty and confusion in which a person's sense of identity becomes insecure. How many of us have had insecurities? How many of us think we're not good enough, or we can't do it, or we've made too many mistakes, or there's no way God could use me? Well, I'm going to ask Rick just to throw one verse up there, 1 Corinthians 14:33. Now, this was actually Paul talking to the church in Corinth about speaking in tongues and the order of the service. But the message is still true. God is not the author of confusion. So in a crisis of your identity, when you don't know and you're confused, that does not come from God. God sees you and God knows exactly who you are. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if you don't have peace, it's not from Him. And you do have peace because He said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, and that you will have the peace that passes all understanding. So when confusion comes, when insecurities come, know who they come from. They come from your enemy and not from your Heavenly Father. So identity, the definition, it is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. It's a fact. It says it's the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Now, this one I really liked. In Merriam-Webster, it said, how do you define your personal identity? It said it is the concept that you develop about yourself that evolves over the course of your life. It's where you grew up. It's your skin color. It's your choices. It's the things you do in your spare time. Well, I strongly disagree with Merriam-Webster. It is not a concept that I develop. It is a fact that God says. It is not where I grew up. Yes, I grew up in Elkins. My skin color is Caucasian. I have made several choices. And I spend time doing many things, often cheering for the Cowboys and cheering for the Steelers to lose. But that is not, it's football season, guys. It is not my identity. My identity is a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. My job does not define me, where I live, what I do in my spare time. God defines me. Does He define you? Do we have an identity crisis, or do we know exactly who we are? Well, I want to tell you who God says that we are. Genesis 1:27. We've heard this many times. So God created man. In the image of God. Do you realize? We should realize you were created in the image of God. You are perfect. And look, He goes on. Well, how many genders are there? male and female. That's the end of that discussion for me. God created male and female, and He made us in His perfect image. Identify as that. I have been made in the image of Almighty God. What could be any greater? Nothing. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church here. And we're only going to read verses 15 through 17. But he's talking about Christ. He's talking about, he says in verse 13 that he delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Christ. And he says in verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. And this truly might be my favorite verse in all the Bible. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You were created by the Creator of the universe in his image for him. What's the purpose of my life? You were created for God. What an honor. We were created to serve and to follow and to fellowship with our Creator. And he goes on to verse 17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Give him praise that he made you. We talk about it. We woke up because it's his breath, right? In our lungs. We give him praise. He created us and he cares about us and he wants to spend time with us. That's my identity. I'm a friend of God. I'm a son. That's how we identify ourselves. And you say, yeah, but I messed up, right? Who hasn't messed up in here? That's excellent. We've all messed up. We've all made bad decisions and we've all failed. Great. That is not what defines you or who you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just back a few pages. See, we have an enemy that's going to try and make us live in our past. That's going to try and make us remember our failures and our shortcomings. And this is what you can tell him. In verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If you think that your past is stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ, you are so wrong. Your mistakes are not stronger than that cross. They're not greater than that empty grave. They're gone. Because He took them all, nailed them up there. Thank you, Jesus. You're a new creature. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who's reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. See, He didn't impute their trespasses unto them. And He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, here's our identity. We're ambassadors for Christ. Did you know you had such a high title? That's who you are. You're an ambassador. I'm going to show my ID. I'm going to write ambassador for Christ right on it. I'm an ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And now look, verse 21. He's made Him, who was Jesus, to be sin for us. The one that knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You're not your mistakes. You're not your sins. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ to God. That's your identity. We have to know who we are because of who He says we are. Because you're going to believe one of two things. You're going to believe Satan, or you're going to believe Christ. It's that simple. It is good versus evil. So let's look and see who these two are. There's three things we'll look at. Who they are, what they want for you, and who wins. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 8. We're just going to read one verse here. And in this text, Jesus is actually speaking to the religious leaders of the time. We'll see if they were doing a good job. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus says in verse 44, because you have one father, and he says, you're of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you're going to do. And look who Satan is. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because he's a liar and the father of it. So you can believe him. Or flip over to John 14:6. You can believe Jesus, who says, I am the way, I am a truth, He is the eternal truth. There is no other truth. Do not find your truth. Find Jesus' truth, because it's the truth. We're not searching for truth. My Bible has 1,834 pages of truth in it. It's all right here. You want to find the truth. If I could just find the truth, it's right here. It's in this book from here to here. I don't know how many pages are in yours, but I have 1,834 pages of the unequivocal truth. It is a fact, and there is no other truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. If you want to go to heaven, you will get there through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The devil is a murderer and a liar and has no truth in him, and Jesus is the truth. Which will you believe? We spend time believing a liar when we have the truth. That ought not be. But he's a liar, but he has a plan for you too. Let's jump back to John 10. Both plans are right in this same verse. We'll read verses 10 and 11. Satan, the thief, he wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you and your family. And he wants to destroy you. That's his plan for your life. So I would believe all of his lies, because it sounds like a great end, right? Or, hear me out, Jesus has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So the truth, the way in life, wants you to have life and a more abundant one. You know, this morning as I walked in, I saw Sister Sheila. And I said, Sister, how are you? And she goes, she couldn't put it into words because her life is so abundant. And that's how we ought to be. She's overwhelmed with the blessings of her Heavenly Father. How are you? Oh, I'm so good. I'm so great. I'm living the most abundant life that Jesus came so that I could have. That should be our response. Just overwhelming joy and excitement. Abundant life. Revelation chapter 12. There's a war in heaven. Now this isn't Satan's final loss that we see later in Revelation, but this is just one of his losses, because he loses every single time. There was a war in heaven in verse 7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. But guess what? They prevailed not. Neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For look, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He is going to accuse you, but he is a defeated liar. He's going to remind you of stuff that's been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And look, it says they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Listen, when he comes, he's defeated, he's lost, he is a loser. You've overcome everything that he says about what you did. Tell him what Jesus did. He was there. He saw. He was there when Jesus came and took the keys. Right? Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, I'm washed clean. That's my identity. He is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to condemn you. But guess what? Romans chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2. It says, there is therefore now very little condemnation. Right? There is absolutely no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How much condemnation is there in Christ Jesus? None. So when he comes to condemn and accuse, you don't have to believe it. It's a lie. He cannot tell the truth. No condemnation. We're free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom, liberty. Come on, church. Our identity is in Christ. And it is hard, but we're not alone. Did he ever mean for us to do any of this alone? No. Stay in Romans 8 as Rick throws Acts 1:8 up there. We've read this verse, but what's it say? You're going to receive power. What kind of power is it? Dunamis. It's dynamite power, right? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you're going to be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Bridgeport, Grafton, the uttermost parts of the earth. Because you have power within you. It's life-changing power. That's how we need to identify as powerful in Christ Jesus. You're stayed in Romans 8, if you listened. Jump down to verse 11. What's it say? It says, the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Is that powerful? Do you go anywhere afraid? You know, Lisa shared with me not too long ago. She said, the Lord spoke to me. She said, I don't go anywhere alone. She said, well, I used to have insecurities, but when I walk into a place, I know who goes before me. I know who's got my back. I know who's on each side of me. We should walk into every place knowing we're not alone. Will you sometimes feel alone? You're not. I don't know if any of you have ever watched Philip Mitchell preach. I've seen him a lot. But he goes, you feel alone, but the Scripture says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We need to get past our feelings and go back to what is in His Word. Your feelings, your circumstances, your situation does not outweigh or change God's true Word. I might feel alone, but I'm not, because God said it. My identity, see, that was probably the problem with Lisa's picture. Jesus was in there, and there were two people. And she was like, well, which one? We're never alone. I will never leave you or forsake you. You're not alone. I don't care how it feels or what it seems. The Creator of the universe is with you always and forever. The Spirit that raised up Jesus lives within us. Our identity is in Christ. We're disciples. We're followers. We're servants to the King. So let's look at a few scriptures, and I had to keep it brief. I will only write on one piece of paper until the Lord tells me. But what does Jesus say we are? What does He say? We're going to look at a few things. Matthew chapter 5. This was the Sermon on the Mount. He says in verse 13, He says, hey, if you have a second, if you're not too busy, if you could squeeze it into your schedule, could you be the salt of the earth? Right? No. He doesn't ask a question at all. You are. So I am the salt of the earth. Why am I the salt? It's right. It's true. That's it. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Well, then it's good for nothing. It's going to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. And also, you are the light of the world. Are you the salt and the light? The answer is yes. It says it. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's who God says we are. We are His church. We are His children. We are the salt and the light. You know what else He calls us? Dee asked me before church, she said, are you ready? I said, yeah. She said, do you have your boxing gloves on? I have a sword. You know why? I'm a soldier. You're a soldier. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, in verse 1, he says, my son, he said, just take it easy, right? We're in a battle. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, it's going to be real easy, he says. No, he says, endure hardness. Endure it. We're not up here telling you that it's going to be easy. It is going to be victorious, but it's not going to be easy. Endure the hardness as a what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure the hard times. No man that wars, and we're soldiers for Jesus, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this earthly life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're fighting a battle for the Lord. You're a soldier in the Lord's army. Don't worry about all this. This will end. This is taken care of. Fight and fight and fight. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Just flip back one page. In the previous verse, he had talked about the love of money being the root of all kinds of evil, right? But he says, thou, O man of God, flee from that and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And look in verse 12. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Seek. Grab hold of eternal life, whereunto you've been called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. He tells us we're soldiers. He tells us to fight. He tells us to endure. If only we had some armor, huh? That would be so helpful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, here it is again, be strong in your own might. You can do this. You're really good. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you know what a relief it is to know that you don't have to be strong in your might? Because you're not that strong. You know, this verse says, with God all things are possible. What's the other part? With man it's impossible. Right? God knows that we are weak. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit to operate in that strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And look, he says, above all, take the shield of faith. Why do we need the shield of faith? Because of all the lies and fiery darts of the wicked. They're going to come at you and they're going to lie. You need that faith. No, I am who God says I am. I am what God says I am. I am a child of Almighty God. Take that faith and believe it and know it. And then take the helmet of salvation. You put that on and protect your brain, right? We protect our minds. We take every thought captive. We think on good things. I have people all the time and they'll say, well, I've been thinking about this. I'm like, those are terrible things. Stop thinking about that. I would be sad too. Think on these things. Think on things that have a good report. Think, we know, it's in Philippians, right? Protect your mind from the lies and deceit of the enemy. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is so powerful. That's why it's imperative that we read it, so that whenever we don't have it, we know it. It's in our hearts. It's in our mind. It's on our tongues. And that we can fight the enemy with the Word of the living God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray for our church. Pray for our leaders. Pray for everyone that sits in here, that everyone that's going to come, that everyone that watches online. Pray for one another, that we guard our minds and we help and assist one another. Guess what else God says we are? We sang about it in the very first song today. I love that because I never know what the songs are, and even when I know them, I don't remember all the words. But it said we used to be a beggar, and then what did we become? Royalty? Are you royalty? God says you are. So let's look at it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. In verse 15, he did tell that we had the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted. How many of you sometimes don't think you can do anything because you had a rough childhood? Because what happened to you in the past, that's your identity. Because your parents didn't do this, or your parents weren't around, or guess what? You've been adopted. Now you have a heavenly Father. So let's just let that excuse just roll away. You've been adopted. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of who? God. That's my identity. I'm a child of God. And if we're children, then guess what? We're heirs of God. The one who holds everything. The one with all power, authority. We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Christ, who is the King of Kings. That blows my mind. What an inheritance! He says, but look, again, is it easy? If so be that we suffer with Him, we're going to have suffering. It's all through this book of Acts too. But guess what comes after that? We're going to be glorified together. And he goes on in verse 18 and he says, for I reckon, Landon really likes the word reckon. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. They're not even worth talking about. That's why we don't dwell on them and talk about them. It's nothing compared to the glory that God has for us in eternity. Your royalty, you're a child of God. You're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. What can you be upset about? Come on. Ephesians 2. I'm almost done. We have to have perspective. We're children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead, that's who we used to be, in sins, He's quickened us. He's made us alive again. With Christ, by grace you're saved. And look, He's raised us up together and He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding, I love the exceeding, abundant, exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You're seated in heavenly places. He's going to show us even more kindness. And He died for us while we were sinners. He loved us and took our sin and nailed it upon that cross. That's everything. Everything else is a bonus. We get eternal life when we earn sin. Everything else is extra. And there's so much. 1 Peter 2:9. He says, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal, there it is, royal priesthood. Holy nation, you've been set apart. We've been set apart. We are a peculiar people. We should show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Words don't do justice to Him. They fail to describe His glory. Let the identity crisis end today in your life. Let it end. Leave it at His feet. Leave it on this altar. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Leave it in that empty tomb. You are exactly who He says you are. That's who you are. You're a new creature in Christ. You were created in His image. You were created by Him. We were created for Him. We've been saved by grace. We've been made partakers of the inheritance of Almighty God. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We have power. We have the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Come on, we're salt, we're light, we're children, we're soldiers, we're royalty. We're waiting on our Savior to come back. But we're not going to be idle till He gets here. We're going to show a lost world that has having an identity crisis, that there's no identity crisis in the house of God. That we are who He says we are, and that's how we're going to act, and that's what we're going to proclaim. Thank You, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise Your holy name. God, that You died for us while we were yet sinners, that You've called us out of our death and sin into Your glorious light, that You've made us alive through Your Son, through Jesus, through His death and His resurrection. God, we give You praise. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that this word, we will remember what You've said, what's written in Your book of truth, that we will remember that we are who You say we are. We won't believe any lies from that liar. We will believe the truth from the truth, which is Jesus Christ. God, I ask it in a powerful, powerful way, Lord, that we would protect our minds with the helmet of salvation, that we would pick up the sword of the Spirit, Lord, and we would use it as the weapon that it is, that we would have our shield of faith, Lord, that we would be completely ready to be the soldiers for the battle that You have called us to fight, that You have already won. And I ask it in Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.